Praise the Lord. I praise God for this morning, and I really want to praise God for this weekend of ministering here. It has been such a great blessing to us, and God is speaking to me too. And as Sheila said, you know, we've been enjoying the fellowship with you all, especially the hospitality, the freedom of the spirit that we have, and the way the pastor, you know, welcomed us to the ministry and the opportunity to share the word. I would like to just add on to what Sheila said. You know, we were able to come here. This is my sabbatical. Sabbatical means every 6 years we get 1 year. My seminary has a rule that 1 year we are freed from teaching normal responsibility. Either after one semester after six semesters, or 1 year after 6 years. And the grace, this is our service conditions, you know, that is our contract. And every seventh year we'll be freed to do whatever we want to do. And they will pay our salary as well. But the grace in this is that many of my colleagues, they get leave, but they don't get an opportunity like I have. Many of them could not find a place for their sabbatical, they cannot travel. They end up sitting at home or going back to work. But my God has been so faithful to us. I was able to take a sabbatical in 2004. And 6 years later, I had my second sabbatical, another 1 year. I was away from the seminary, and we were able to come here. And this God arranged my sabbatical 2 years before it was due. And people thought I have worked out everything. No, I didn't do anything. Before 2 years it was due, God had played everything. I was invited, I didn't apply. I was invited to come and take a position here. And we prayed when we go for a sabbatical. And God made it in such a way that we'll spend 1 semester with our daughter, because he had planned it that also. We never wanted that. We never thought that would happen. She could stay with us 7 years after. She was 4 years since she is in boarding, 3 years in USA. And on the seventh year, God provided that we will be with our daughter in America. And that is something that we didn't ask for. Our God is a God who, you know, does more than we ask or imagine. My problem with name and claim it theology is this. Name and claim it theology says you name the blessing that you want and you claim it. The type of house you want, the type of car you want. You imagine it and then you name it, then you will get it. I learned in my Christian life not to do it. I don't. Because I can name only what my mind can contain. But God has in his plans what I cannot even imagine. Why should I name something, limit God's possibilities? Just let him have it. So we have experienced, we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Praise God. We also prayed. A third thing, we didn't pray for this. We didn't pray for this. But one thing we prayed, is that God take us to a place where we'll be spiritually nourished. Not to a place where we'll be ministering. Ministering to people is good, but ministering when you are without being ministered to dries you up. Sunday after Sunday, if I preach, and if I don't get anything, if I don't get fellowship, if I don't get some prayer partners and people to pray with me, support me and all that, I will dry up. And I said, I cannot afford that. And we prayed about it. We came to Anderson to find that there is no Indian churches in that city and not an Indian restaurant also. No Indian grocery shop also. But we prayed about it. And God took us to two strong churches. We were going around, round, round. We went to many churches. And we saw many things that one day when walked into a church, the pastor preached from a canoe, a boat that he brought on the platform. And we thought these are not a thing. But we went and settled now in a church. We go to morning and evening where we are really, really spiritually nourished. The church where I was allowed to preach in the church as well. And you know, the church, at the end of the message, the altars are open. People come to the front and they sit there and pray as long as they want. In another church, you know, people will rejoice in the Lord And they will come to the friend and to be prayed for during the singing or what. We do so much of freedom. And they just accepted us. And we were, as Sheila said, we were so nourished by the spiritual fellowship we received in Anderson, Indiana. I remember one day, a woman testified, a girl of maybe 20 years, with tears in her eyes, and she said, the blessing that God has done to us, her. And she said, God is teaching me to live without anxiety. That came as a bomb. And when I saw her sincerity reflected in her tears, and I knew that she is a woman who walks with the Lord. And when she said, the Lord is helping me to live now without anxiety. When did you hear such a testimony in our life? Somebody saying, you know, I have heard people talking about God enabling us to buy a new car and all that. But a testimony where God has helped somebody to overcome anxiety and to walk closer to the Lord. And going to that church was such a great blessing. That's what I was just elaborating on, Sheila was saying. Pray for us as we go back. I have a church which I have left in the hands of my assistant. And in my church, in my absence, I think the church is doing well. That tells something about my type of ministry, I think. You know? But the church belongs to the Lord. I have complete peace about it. And I pray, Lord, if it is your will that the church will be there, I will pastor it. If it is not there, you take care of it. And the Lord has kept us. And we are doing very well back in. Every week we get some visitors. We sit here and pray when the service is going on there. So that we pray, Lord, bring some new faces. And God is bringing new faces every Sunday. And they may not come back, but we have friends coming. Today, I want to focus on what I promised yesterday. Walking a life of Christian obedience. You know that. We are called to lead a life of obedience. This morning we saw that Christ has released us and delivered us from the observance of the law, that we may walk step by step with the Holy Spirit. And that is a calling to obedience. Yes, there may be certain things that we observe. We need to have a rhythm for life. We should know when to get up and when to pray. We should know what to read from the Bible and how to read. Now, we have rules. It is not a life without rules. It is not life without principles. It is not life without limits. It is a life within limits with principles, but not bound by principles or laws and rules. But it is something that God has released us so that we can live a life of obedience to Christ and to live in harmony or in line with what the Holy Spirit tells us. Obedience is the supreme thing. Now, obedience and disobedience is the greatest sin. But disobedience is the most foundational sin. When I say foundational, disobedience is what destroyed everything. There are many other things which you can add to. Every sin originates from disobedience. I would like to present two examples today in the course of the sermon. I would like to present two examples, one of disobedience and one of obedience, by the same name, two people by the same name, Saul. One was king, the other was an apostle. And he changed his name from Saul to Paul later on. Now, what is disobedience? Why we disobey God? You can actually, if you want, find fault with God, the design. And don't take it very seriously. No, this is in the part of our design, a problem with our design. God created us with free will, Ichha Shakti, a will to choose the good and the bad. That will was given by God. Devam namukku endu edu oru Ichha Shakti nalgi. And God, he created us in his own image. God can make choices. God can take decisions. And because he created man in his own image, God created with free will. Devam tande tande thanne പ്രതിമയായി തൻ്റെ വട്ട് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് വേർഡ് ഫോർ ഇറ്റ് ഇമേജ് ഓഫ് ഗോഡ് തൻ്റെ ഛായയിൽ മനുഷ്യനെ സൃഷ്ടിച്ചതുകൊണ്ട് മനുഷ്യനെ നല്ലതും തിന്മയും തിരഞ്ഞെടുക്കാനുള്ള ഫ്രീഡം കൊടുത്തു. ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വെയർ തിങ്സ് വെൻ റോങ്. അവിടെയാണ് പ്രശ്നം പറ്റിയത്. അതുകൊണ്ട് ആദാമിനെയും ഹവ്വയെയും ദൈവം സൃഷ്ടിച്ച് പറഞ്ഞു, നിങ്ങൾക്ക് എല്ലാ വൃക്ഷത്തിൻ്റെയും ഫലം തിന്നാം, പക്ഷേ ഒരെണ്ണത്തിൻ്റെ എന്ത് ചെയ്യരുത്, തിന്നരുത്. God gave them a choice. God could have made them in such a way that they will never be able to eat it. That was also possible. ദൈവത്തിന് അങ്ങനെയും ചെയ്യാമായിരുന്നു. എങ്ങനെ? ഒരിക്കലും ഈ ഫലം തിന്നാൻ പയ്യാത്ത വിധത്തിൽ ദൈവത്തിന് അവരെ സൃഷ്ടിക്കുകയോ ആ ഫലത്തെ സൃഷ്ടിക്കുകയോ ചെയ്യാമായിരുന്നു. ആ മരത്തെയും സൃഷ്ടിക്കാമായിരുന്നു, അല്ലേ? But God left the choice with them. ദൈവം ആ തിരഞ്ഞെടുപ്പിനുള്ളതായ സ്വാതന്ത്ര്യം ആർക്ക് വിട്ടുകൊടുത്തു? ആദാമിനും ഹവ്വയ്ക്കും വിട്ടുകൊടുത്തു. ആ തിരഞ്ഞെടുപ്പിനുള്ള സ്വാതന്ത്ര്യമാണ് നമ്മളെല്ലാവരെയും തെറ്റിനെ പ്രേരിപ്പിക്കുന്നത്. സോ ദ ഡിസൊബീഡിയൻസ് ഈസ് ബേസിക്കലി ദ മിസ്യൂസ് ഓഫ് അവർ ഫ്രീഡം. ഗോഡ് ലെഫ്റ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ഫ്രീഡം ടു അസ്. ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഗിവ്സ് എസ് എ പോസിബിലിറ്റി. അതുകൊണ്ട് നമുക്കൊരു പോസിബിലിറ്റി ഉണ്ട്. വി ക്യാൻ ഡു ഗുഡ്, വി ക്യാൻ ഡു ബാഡ്. We can eat the forbidden fruit and we may not eat fruits that are allowed also. All these choices were given. And that is why we disobey God. Now what is obedience? Now there are two wills that are clashing. One will is our will, free will that we have, choices that we can make. നമുക്ക് ഇഷ്ടം പോലെ എന്ത് ചെയ്യാനുള്ള സ്വാതന്ത്ര്യം ആര് തന്നിട്ടുണ്ട്? ദൈവം തന്നിട്ടുണ്ട്. But that freedom is also the freedom to obey God's will. ദൈവത്തിൻ്റെ ഹിതത്തിന് അനുസരിക്കുവാനുള്ള സ്വാതന്ത്ര്യം ദൈവം തന്നിട്ടുണ്ട്, തന്നിട്ടുണ്ട്. God gave us the freedom to do whatever we want. At the same time, God gave us the freedom to do His will too. But most of the time, we do our will. We use our will, self, our free will. Now, there are two clashes. These two things are clashing. നമുക്ക് നമ്മുടെ ഇഷ്ടം ചെയ്യണം. ദൈവത്തിൻ്റെ പ്രതീക്ഷ നമ്മളിൽ നിന്ന് നാം ദൈവത്തിൻ്റെ ഇഷ്ടം ചെയ്യണമെന്നാണ്. വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഡിസൊബീഡിയൻസ്? ഡിസൊബീഡിയൻസ് ഈസ് അനുസരണക്കേട് എന്ന് പറഞ്ഞാൽ ദൈവഹിതത്തിന് വിരുദ്ധമായി മനുഷ്യൻ്റെ ഹിതം മൂവ് ചെയ്യുമ്പോഴാണ് എന്തുണ്ടാകുന്നത്? അനുസരണക്കേടുണ്ടാകുന്നത്. പക്ഷേ ദൈവഹിതത്തിനെ അനുസരിച്ച് മനുഷ്യൻ്റെ ഹിതം നടക്കുകയാണെങ്കിൽ അതെന്താണ്? ഒബീഡിയൻസ് ആണ്, അത് അനുസരണമാണ്. ദൈവത്തിൻ്റെ ഹിതം എന്തെന്ന് അറിഞ്ഞുകൊണ്ട് ദൈവഹിതം ചെയ്യുന്നതിനെയാണ് അനുസരണമെന്ന് പറയുന്നത്. ദൈവത്തിൻ്റെ ഹിതത്തിനെ വിരുദ്ധമായി പ്രവർത്തിക്കുന്നതാണ് അനുസരണക്കേട് എന്ന് പറയുന്നത്. Now the question is, what are we called for? We are created with free will. When we become Christians, when we are saved, God doesn't take that free will and put His will there. No, we still have that free will. നാം രക്ഷിക്കപ്പെടുമ്പോൾ നമുക്കെന്തുണ്ട്? ആ ഫ്രീ വിൽ അവിടെ കിടപ്പുണ്ട്. ദൈവം അത് ചെയ്തിട്ടില്ല. സ്റ്റിൽ ദർ ഇസ് ദ പോസിബിലിറ്റി ഓഫ് ദ കോൺഫ്ലിക്റ്റ്. ഇത് ദൈവത്തിൻ്റെ ഹിതമായി കോൺഫ്ലിക്റ്റ് ചെയ്യാനുള്ള കോൺഫിഡുണ്ട്. ബട്ട് വൺ വാട്ട് ഗോഡ് ഹാസ് വെൻ വി ഹിയർ ദ ഗോസ്പൽ ആൻഡ് വി ആക്സെപ്റ്റ് ദ ലോർഡ് ആസ് അവർ സേവിയർ, വി സറണ്ടർ. നമ്മൾ എന്ത് ചെയ്യുക? രക്ഷ കർത്താവിന് സ്വന്തം രക്ഷ സ്വീകരിക്കുന്ന അവസരത്തിൽ നാം പറയുകയാണ്, ഞാൻ ദൈവത്തെ അനുസരിച്ച് നടക്കാൻ തയ്യാറാകുന്നു. ആ ഒരു കാര്യത്തിൽ നാം ദൈവത്തെ എന്ത് ചെയ്യുന്നു? അനുസരിക്കുന്നു. God is God's will that everyone should know the Lord and be called the children of God. സകലരും ദൈവമക്കളാകണമെന്ന് കർത്താ ദൈവത്തിൻ്റെ ഹിതമാണ്. Every child, every boy or a girl or a man or a woman, when they commit their lives to the Lord and they accept the Lordship of Jesus Christ, they are obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. But only one thing. What is that? That God's will that we should be saved through faith in His Son. അവൻ്റെ പുത്രനുള്ള വിശ്വാസം മൂലം നാം രക്ഷിക്കപ്പെടുന്നു എന്നുള്ള കാര്യത്തിൽ നമ്മൾ എന്ത് ചെയ്തു? കർത്താവിനെ, ദൈവത്തെ, ആ വില്ല് നമ്മൾ അനുസരിച്ചു. പക്ഷേ ഒരുപാട് കാര്യങ്ങൾ ബാക്കി കിടപ്പുണ്ട്. That is the beginning of the Christian obedience. Second thing is that we are baptized. You know, നമ്മുടെ ഇടയിൽ ഒരു യൂഫമിസം ഉണ്ട്, കൽപ്പന അനുസരിച്ചു. ഐ ടച്ച്ഡ് അപ്പോൺ ഇറ്റ് വൺ ഓഫ് ദീസ് നൈറ്റ്സ്. കൽപ്പന അനുസരിച്ചു. And but what does Paul say? You are baptized unto Christ, Romans chapter 6, and you are raised so that we may walk in the newness of life. ജീവന്റെ പുതുക്കത്തിൽ നടക്കേണ്ടതിന് തന്നെ. എന്തിനായിരുന്നു ഒരു വിശ്വാസി രക്ഷിക്കപ്പെട്ട് സ്നാനപ്പെട്ടത്? വിശ്വാസി രക്ഷിക്കപ്പെട്ട് സ്നാനപ്പെട്ടത് എന്തിനാണെന്ന് വെച്ചാൽ, റോമാലേഖനം 4:6 വി വെർ ദെർഫോർ ബറീഡ് വിത്ത് ഹിം ത്രൂ ബാപ്റ്റിസം ഇൻ ടു ഡെത്ത് ഇൻ ഓർഡർ ദാറ്റ് ജസ്റ്റ് എസ് ക്രൈസ്റ്റ് വാസ് റേസ്ഡ് ഫ്രം ദ ഡെഡ് ത്രൂ ദ ഗ്ലോറി ഓഫ് ദ ഫാദർ വി ടു മേ ലിവ് എ ന്യൂ ലൈഫ്. നാമും ജീവന്റെ പുതുക്കത്തിൽ നടക്കേണ്ടതിന് തന്നെ. മോസ്റ്റ് ഓഫ് ദ ടൈം ഇൻ ദ പെന്റക്കോസ്റ്റൽ ഇമാജിനേഷൻ ഓൺലി റേസിംഗ് ഈസ് കമ്മിങ് ഇസ് ദർ. പെന്തക്കോസ്റ്റ് ഇമാജിനേഷനിൽ ഡെത്ത്, ബറിയൽ ആൻഡ് റേസിംഗ്, ദ വാക്കിംഗ് ഈസ് വെരി സെൽഡം പ്രീസ്റ്റ്. ഐ ഹാവ് ഫൗണ്ട് ദാറ്റ്. ജീവന്റെ പുതുക്കത്തിൽ നടക്കണം. സോ മെനി ടൈംസ് ഐ യൂസ് ടു തിങ്ക്, യു നോ, ഐ ഹാവ് എ വെരി നോട്ടി മൈൻഡ്, യു ഹാവ് മൈറ്റ് ഓ നോട്ടീസ് ഇറ്റ് ബൈ നൗ. ഐ യൂസ് ടു തിങ്ക്, വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദിസ്? യു ആർ ഡെഡ്, യു ബറി ആൻഡ് യു റേസ്, ദെൻ വാട്ട്? യു സ്റ്റേ ദർ? നോ, ബൈബിൾ സേസ് ദാറ്റ് യു മേ വാക്ക് ഇൻ ദ ന്യൂനെസ് ഓഫ് ലൈഫ്. വി ആർ ബറീഡ്, we are dead, buried, raised. It's not complete until we say to walk, and that walk, he goes on elaborating, say that's a walk of obedience. That's a walk of obedience, doing God's will, for which we continuously suppress our will, our rebellious mind. നമ്മുടെ ദൈവത്തോട് മറുതലിക്കുന്ന, മത്സരിക്കുന്ന, പിറുപിറുക്കുന്നതായ നമ്മുടെ ഹൃദയത്തിൻ്റെ ഇച്ഛകളെ നമ്മൾ എന്തു ചെയ്യുന്നു? ഓരോ നിമിഷവും അമർത്തി 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 അടിച്ചമർത്തിക്കൊണ്ടാണ് നാം ദൈവഹിതം നിറവേറ്റുന്നത്. ബാപ്റ്റിസം ഈസ് എ ഗ്രേറ്റ് റെസ്പോൺസിബിലിറ്റി, ഇറ്റ്സ് നോട്ട് എ പ്രിവിലേജ്. അയ്യോ, നമ്മൾ രക്ഷിക്കുമ്പോൾ, നമ്മൾ സ്നാനപ്പെട്ട് കഴിയുമ്പോൾ നമുക്ക് മറ്റുള്ളവരെ കുറിച്ചൊക്കെ പുച്ഛോ അല്ലേ? പണ്ടൊക്കെ പറയായിരുന്നു അവരൊക്കെ സമുദായക്കാരാണ്, ഇപ്പം അത് ഇച്ചിരി കുറവാ, പറച്ചിൽ കുറവാ. കാരണം നമ്മളും അതിലും വലിയ, ആരാ പറഞ്ഞത്? ഞാൻ പറഞ്ഞില്ല. See, we have become worse now because there is no obedience. I tell you, more than half of the problems in every congregation will go if 20% of the congregation begin to walk in obedience to Christ. Not more, just 20% of the people decide to walk in obedience to Christ, more than 50% of the problems will definitely go. And that is a very, very liberal estimate. I think maybe 100% will go. The problem is that we are walking according to our will, disobeying God's will, conflicting his plan for the church and our individuals. That is why we have conflicts. Why? Because rarely we can find anyone who walk in obedience to Christ, step in step with the Holy Spirit, producing the fruit of the Spirit. We need more than the Old Testament to control our behavior. More than 10 laws, commandments, 10 kalpanekkal upari kalpana undengil polum nammade many times our unruly behavior cannot be controlled, because we many times have this problem of conflicting and going away, living contrary to the will of God. Devathinte hidathinu viruddhamayi jeevikkunna oru swabhavam nammade jeevithil undu. That is what baptism is. Baptism is the beginning of an obedience. Adugondana vedavasathi parande അത് ശുദ്ധ മനസാക്ഷിക്കുള്ള ഒരു അപേക്ഷയാകുന്നു. വാട്ട് ഇസ് ഹാപ്പനിങ് അറ്റ് ബാപ്റ്റിസം? ഇറ്റ്സ് എ പ്ലീ ഫോർ എ പ്യുർ ക്ലീൻ കോൺഷ്യൻസ്. എൻ്റെ മനസാക്ഷി, കർത്താവെ, എനിക്ക് എൻ്റെ പഴയ മനസാക്ഷി മാറ്റിയിട്ട്, എൻ്റെ ക്രൂരമായ മനസാക്ഷി മാറ്റിയിട്ട്, എന്നെ നിന്നെ ദുഃഖിപ്പിക്കുന്ന എൻ്റെ മനസാക്ഷി മാറ്റിയിട്ട് എനിക്കൊരു ക്ലീൻ പ്യുർ മനസാക്ഷി, കോൺഷ്യൻസ് തരണമെന്നുള്ള പ്രാർത്ഥനയാണ് ഇവിടെ നടക്കുന്നത്, ബാപ്റ്റിസതി നടക്കുന്നത്. സോ എവരി വൺ, ഐ വോണ്ട് യു ടു അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് അവർ എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ്. our experience of baptism. Now, yes, some people get baptized just a week before their marriage. Some people get baptized because the pastor was forcing them to baptize. Whatever way you did it, I'm not questioning your experience, but realize that that is, whether you did consciously or unconsciously, whether you did under pressure or without pressure, God may have a plan how you walked in the water of baptism, but remember now that it was a call to obedience. And let's walk now. Don't worry about it. Walk now. Keep walking. That is, walk in obedience. Praise the Lord. A second thing I should pull down before I can move any further with this topic is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I preach the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I have written about it. I have conducted tarrying meetings for ICPF and many places. And people are filled with the Holy Spirit in my ministry. Pastor K.V. Kurian had confidence once to invite me to his church. And he said, Paulson, you teach about the Holy Spirit. And I taught him about the Holy Spirit. And we called people to the front to pray over. Myself and K.V. Kurian prayed. And I remember 5 or 6 youngsters were filled with the Holy Spirit that night when he was alive. And that church is still there. Many people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit were there. And the first night they started singing, beating the drum, and I said, stop. We stopped. And those 5 guys were filled with the Holy Spirit. They started speaking in tongues without any drum. According to the word of God, it says, when the apostles were preaching the word, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. When they laid hands on them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Nowhere in the Bible say when they were beating the drum, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. No, never. It happens. It was repeated many times in my ministry. I firmly believe it. I have an experience. But there is a notion that baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is a privilege, prestige. No. It's a responsibility. What did Jesus say in Romans, Acts chapter 1? When you have received power, chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I want to emphasize that when you have received power, nobody can give you power. Power has to be received. It cannot be stirred up by the rhythm of a drum. It cannot be given by loud singing. It has to be received. It has to be quietly received. It has to be passively received. It's an endowment from the Holy Spirit, from God. When that happens, you don't go for ministry, but you will become. Means you automatically become witnesses where you are and ends of the world. We live in a world where this whole concept is corrupted. Why do God give us the Holy Spirit? In some churches, there is a rule that to become a committee member, you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there was this guy in one of our leading churches. And this guy, somebody nominated him to the committee. And another man objected and said, he is not baptized in the Holy Spirit. According to our constitution, he cannot be part of the committee. He cannot be a member in the committee. And there was confusion. And there was a man in that congregation. He stood up and he said, this man received the Holy Spirit in my ministry. He can be in the committee. And this poor man, the nominee, was confused. And he stood up before the congregation and said, brothers and sisters, I am not yet baptized by the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be in the committee. Now, why did that man, prophet, say that he was? Because prophet was simply supporting him. He can be in the committee. And he wondered. But this man was honest. But the flip side of it is that there are a lot of committee members, council members, who are not. They didn't have the honesty of this man to say that I am not. This man had the honesty, though he was vouched by a false prophet, he simply stood up and said, I am not. But there are people who just keep quiet and get into councils and committees and whatever things you can think of. But ultimately the point is, it's a privilege. It gives you voting eligibility. It has become so corrupted. This has become so corrupted. It is now considered as a legal eligibility to sit in a council. But God, Christ, he said, sit, go and sit in the upper room. You will receive. When? When I want to send it. Not according to your time schedule. When I want, I will open the door, this thing, and I'll pour it on you. Then what will you have to do? Nothing. You will become witnesses. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm very sure now, nobody can take this word of God and just get out of this place and then say that I am called to ministry. No. Ministry calling is a painful experience. It's even painful to obey God. It's not an easy task. Obedience is very expensive. It's costly. Receive. Then once received, you have to get out. What I'm trying to say is that baptism in the Holy Spirit is not a privilege. Yes, we have to accept it. We have to receive it. But it comes with a huge responsibility. You know what? Responsibility to witness, to be witness. It's great to worship within this congregation. Now, a few miles down south in LA, Los Angeles, in the Azusa Street, the Holy Spirit came upon the people in a barn house in a powerful way. You know what they happened in 1906? They became witnesses. They went out. Now, some people took their coffins and went to Africa. You know why? Because they knew God has called them to Africa and they will be buried in Africa. So they shipped a coffin with them. Some people took only one-way ticket because they knew that God is sending. And God may not call them back for a furlough or a sabbatical. That was not sure. So they just want one. That is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon his people. It's a beginning of a walk of obedience. That is obedience. When the Holy Spirit comes, he fills us according to whatever level he wants, whichever way he wants, whatever time he wants. But the end result is that whoever is filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, will become his witnesses. And let me tell you, wonderful ways God is using people in this country. God took me that, showed me that side also. Two weeks back, I was in Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio. I was preaching in a small congregation of, not a congregation, they gathered, there is no Indian church there. They go to all English churches, but Saturday they come. And it was a group of professionals, doctors with a lot of specializations. And they come together, it's a club of doctors, I could say, in my cousin's house, Sheila's cousin's house. And it happened to be there, I happened to be there. And he had told me, preach on Christian hope. But I did not really preach a message. I did preach about it. I preached about how transient our life is. I preached, that is what the Lord told me, on Psalm 90. I preached on Psalm 90. What a mighty God we have. How small and frail we are before God. Why we should depend on God. I preached that sermon, but my brother-in-law had called me and said, he preached on hope. And I didn't know anyone. This morning, I received an email that one other person was a psychiatrist, 50-something, 52, maybe less than 60, that range, a Hindu. He was diagnosed with cancer, some strange cancer. And they brought him in a wheelchair with oxygen, and he was sitting there in the service. And this great man, a doctor by profession, a Telugu guy, was not a Christian, but now he accepted the Lord. And yesterday was his funeral. He died. But it was a Christian funeral. And my brother-in-law wrote to me and said, Paulson, that Dr. Venkat passed away day before yesterday. We had a funeral yesterday on Saturday evening. It was done in our church. It's a Christian funeral. And a lot of Hindus came to hear the gospel. Praise God. Just less than a month before his death, He becomes a Christian, trust, puts his trust in the Lord, and he has gone to be with the Lord. And he became a great missionary after death when his funeral conducted in English American congregation and Assemblies of God, I think, or a Brethren congregation, I don't know what congregation. Lord of his doctor friends from Ohio, Cleveland, and his family friends came, Hindus, Telugu Hindus, and they heard the gospel. That man became the greatest preacher from the coffin. And I'm proud of my brother-in-law, who is a MD. Humble man, doesn't speak much. God used him to bring this man to the Lord in some way. I am so glad few days back I was able to witness to him, not directly but indirectly, about the hope in the Lord. I praise God. People filled with the Holy Spirit, taking the gospel, not from behind a pulpit like this, but being hands and feet of God, extending his healing ministry. When healing ministry fails, they take over, the spiritual ministry continues, prepares them for eternity. A man preached to many people from his coffin. What a wonderful privilege it is. That is life of obedience. Life of obedience. Now, life of obedience is waiting for his time. There are many things that we need to know. Life of obedience is bringing our will, subordinating our will to the will of God. That is the first thing I said. Life of obedience is subordinating our will to the will of God. Aligning our walk with the Holy Spirit. We walk step by step. Step in step with the Holy Spirit. That's the way I should put it. Nam devathinte parishuddhaatmavinte kaal chuvalukalkoppam nadakkanam. That is the life of obedience. Instead of our will being above God's will, we subordinate, bring it down to God's will, and God's will get priority in our life. Amen. Praise God. We always ask the question, God, what do you want me to do? I visited a dear brother of mine years ago when color television was not very common in those days. Somewhere in Adur, this man, godly man, bought a color television for something very expensive those days. And he brought it home and he fixed his huge antenna. There was no cable in those days, and he plugged this thing and he only had this snowy screen. Maybe 40,000 rupees in those days gone. And I asked him, why? What happened? He said, Paulson, don't worry about it. I lost something like maybe 30,000 rupees those days. And you know what he told me? I did not ask God's will before buying it. And I deserve this. My God, what a sensitivity to the God's will. Aa manushyane devahidathodulladaya sensitivity. He was telling me, don't worry, let it sit there. I didn't ask God before buying it. I didn't seek God's will before buying it. And God had taught me a lesson. Maybe 30,000 rupee lesson, but that is worth more than valuable than that, 30,000. That is when people live in subordinating their will to the will of God. And second thing is that we wait for God's time, not for our time. Now, we want God's will, but we don't have patience. The third quality of the fruit of the Spirit, that is, wait for his time. In his time, he will do all things beautiful. Isn't it? Isn't it? We have a song, isn't it, brother? In his time, he will do all things, not blank, beautiful. But we want things in our time. And we mess up because we don't have the patience to wait for his time. Wait, obedience is waiting for his time. Now look at the first man I was talking about. This man is the arch example of disobedience. And his name is Saul, the king. You know, this famous verse. Yes, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fatness of the lambs. That verse came to Saul through Samuel. Because Saul was a man, good man. We know that he was a handsome man too. He was the first king of Israel. A great man. You know what he did? 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 11. Let's turn to that passage. 1 Samuel 13, 11.
What have you done, asked Samuel?
Yes.
Saul replied,
yes.
When I saw that the men were scattering, that you did not come at the set time,
yes.
And that the Philistines were assembling at Mishmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal.
Yes. I felt compelled. All that I can say in once. I felt compelled to do things before something else happens. I thought, if I'm late, it'll be disastrous. So what did I do? I saw the people are scattering and also the Philistines are coming. So I thought, this is the best time to do it. That was his first act of disobedience. He could not wait for God's time. He wanted things happen in his time. He was judging his will, his judgments. Now, if I am late, things will go bad. Let me do it now. There was this man. He wanted to fly, and he missed the flight. He missed the flight for some reasons. And he was sad, very, very sad. He said, God, why did you do this to me? I have to go there and preach. Why did I miss that flight? You know what happened? He took the second flight. And before he reached there, he came to know that the first flight crashed and everyone died. Waiting for God's time, doing things in our time, can end up in a crash. Not plane crash. But crash, the shipwreck of faith. Vishwasathinte kappal chedam. The shipwreck of faith. This man waited, could not wait for God's time. He did things in his own time. And he began to mess up his life and the life of Israel. And you know what happened? Rest of the story you know. He was defeated. But there was another man. He had a beautiful desire. And that is Saul. Paul, he became Paul. He had a great desire and he wrote to the letter, in his letter to the Romans, he wrote, I want to come and see you. You know, first chapter, Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First I want to, or 11 we can read. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I want to come and see you, people in Rome. That is the capital of the Roman Empire. I want to come and see. He wrote. And many years later, he went. That is how the book of Acts ends. The last chapter, the last verse says, Paul came to Rome. He was imprisoned there, but it says he preached without hindrance. The gospel was preached without hindrance. He went there. When did he go? In on God's own time. And do it in God's own way. Okay, that is my another point, next point. But let me stick on to this. Doing it in God's own time. If I were Paul, I would have taken a visa and flown to Rome. All that I will ask is, does God want me to go to Seattle? That's all I need to know. Many times we don't ask when. Many times we don't ask the question. I want to go to Seattle and preach the gospel so that this church will be encouraged by my messages. That's God's will. So what to do? Buy an airfare when it is cheap to buy. When the weather is good. But God says, wait for my time. Many apostles, many Saint Pauls and dirty Paulsons don't do that. Don't wait for it. Now, you know, that is a long wait for him. Let me take you through the story of Paul. Paul was keeping this desire to be in Rome, to preach the gospel to the people there. You know what happened? He was arrested in Jerusalem in his last journey. And that night when he was presented before the Sanhedrin, the Lord stood, came to his little jail cell. Chapter 23, Acts 23, 11. There we see the following night, the Lord stood near Paul in the prison and said, "Take courage. As you have testified me in Jerusalem, so you must testify me in Rome." That was many years after he wrote that epistle to the Romans and said, "I want to come and see you." But then the Lord came and told him, "You have to testify me just as you testify me in Jerusalem." How did he testify in Jerusalem? He just was testifying in chains. That is what the Lord promised. "You will testify me like this." You'll be arrested in Jerusalem. And he waited. And learn, let's move forward. When he was brought before Agrippa, he stood up and made his defense. In all these cases, he doesn't make a defense. That's another thing that you should study. He only proclaims the gospel. You know, he was a prisoner. He was brought before. And he was not saying, "Please, please release me." In none of Paul's defenses, he said, "Please release me." But he always testified about his conversion. That's all he did. Because he was not looking for a freedom. His freedom. He was looking for the freedom of Festus and the Roman governors. That spiritual darkness, they'll move to the divine light. That was all that he was, he was obsessed with. He never said, "I am guilty. I'm not guilty. Please let me go." He never said that. None of his defenses. Obedience. And that night, God said, "No, you have to testify me again in Jerusalem." He was brought before Agrippa. You know what that man said? "King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Agrippa Rajave, Nyan Sorgia Darsinatine, Anserna Keda, Karnichilini Karnikuimilla. And finally, the court convened and they said, "This man has done nothing wrong. He can go free. But we have a legal problem now. This man has already said that he would appeal to Caesar. Because he had appealed to Caesar, we cannot let him go now. We have to let him appear before Caesar in Rome because he's a Roman citizen." He could have been released in Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi ile karagrahathil ninnu avane vimojikkamayirunnu. Annerathu Paul Paulos oru veendum oru odakkavadi ittu. Endarannu ariyamo? "Enikku, I don't want freedom from you. I will appeal to Caesar." And you know the rest of the story? They put him in this thing along with other prisoners. Time is going. So I want to just tell the story before. You know the passages. They put him in a ship. And the ship had a wreck. You know the story. And they went to an island called Malta. And what happened in Malta? He was bitten by a viper. Right? Then finally he reached Rome. In this stormy weather, he starved many days in the ship. There was no provision. And finally, the ship breaks. They were hanging on the planks of the ship. Then where they was, they thought that he will die. But he didn't die. He reached Rome. He was welcomed by the officers there and taken to a prison there. Why did he do that? Because that night, God told him that you have to witness me. You have to bear witness to me in Jerusalem. നീ ഇവിടെ സാക്ഷിച്ച പോലെ എന്നെ എന്ത് ചെയ്യണം? യെരുശലേമിലും റോമിലും സാക്ഷിക്കണം എന്ന് പറഞ്ഞതുകൊണ്ട് മാത്രം അവന് കിട്ടാവുന്ന ഫ്രീഡവും അവൻ എന്ത് ചെയ്തു? വേണ്ടെന്ന് വെച്ച് ഹി വെൻ ടു റോം ടു ബി എ വിറ്റ്നസ് ടു ഗോഡ്. ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ദ റെസ്റ്റ് ഓഫ് ദ സ്റ്റോറി വി ഹാവ് ടു റീഡ് ഫിലിപ്പിയൻസ് ടു നോ ദാറ്റ്. You know, what happened in Philippians? What is he writing? From Rome, he wrote a letter to Philippians. He says, "Because of my imprisonment, many in the Italian cohort has come to know the Lord." Italica pattalathilulla valarum in karthavane arivan idayai. A man's obedience by waiting for God's time. So it is a long wait. he had to wait for the third missionary journey to end up in an arrest in Jerusalem. Jerusalem il vanna tadavugaran aaguna idine avade endiyanamayirunnu. He had to wait for it. And this man called, this a prophet came, and he said the owner of this loincloth will be arrested in Jerusalem. Remember that? Agabus prophesied, when a prophet says something, we will definitely accept it. But this man is different. Agabus said, this man will be arrested in Jerusalem. Paul said, good, that is what I want. He went to Jerusalem. From there, he was more than three years, he was in the prison in Caesarea. From there, he takes a long journey, all because waiting for God's time to fulfill God's will. Praise God. He was waiting for God's time to fulfill God's will. That is obedience. That is Christian obedience. Waiting for God's time. And the second thing is waiting for His way. Doing it His way. Not only His will, but doing it according to His way. Avan aagrahikkunna reethiyil. The second instance in Saul's life, King Saul's life, was he was ordered to do something, but he did something else. You know the story in 1 Samuel chapter 15. He was told, kill everything, but he kept something for Lord. And he said, he justified, and he said, you know what I'm going to do? I thought I have kept these oxen and these goats and the rams to offer to the Lord. But the Lord said, kill them. Annihilate them, but he kept some, you know, because he was modifying God's command. ദൈവത്തിന്റെ കൽപ്പനകൾക്ക് അല്പമൊക്കെ ഒരു ചെറിയൊരു മാറ്റം വരുത്തിയിട്ട് എന്ത് ചെയ്യുക? ഒബേയാൻ ശ്രമിക്കുക. ഒബീഡിയൻസ് ആൻഡ് ഡിസോബീഡിയൻസ്, ദർ ആർ ഓൺലി ടു തിങ്സ്. ദർ ഇസ് നത്തിങ് കോൾഡ് പാർഷ്യൽ ഒബീഡിയൻസ്. ദർ ഇസ് നോ പാർഷ്യൽ ഒബീഡിയൻസ്. ദാറ്റ് അപ്ലൈസ് ടു സർട്ടൻ അതർ റിയാലിറ്റീസ്. When a glass is half full, definitely it is half empty. When a door is half shut, it is half open. But that principle doesn't apply to obedience. You cannot. An obedience, partial obedience, is total disobedience. That is what the Lord, that is the truth. A partial obedience is disobedience. There is no, you cannot say, I will do this or I will modify this. Doing it according to His way. And that is why the Lord spoke through Samuel and said, it is better, to obedience is better than sacrifice. What I need is not sacrifice from you. What I need from you is obey. Do it my way. When I say kill, you kill. When I say keep, you keep. When I say sacrifice, you sacrifice. When I say don't sacrifice, you don't sacrifice. Don't change my commandments. A bit. That is obedience. Come to this great man called Paul. Same name. From the same tribe. This man waited not only for his time. He waited for God's own way. What was God's own way? God's own way is that God said, you will be imprisoned. And you will testify me as a prisoner in Rome. That is my way. Lord, why don't you, well, let's sit down and work out another option. You know, I will say, they will let me go from Caesarea Philippi. I'll be free. I'll walk down to Joppa, the nearest port. I'll go to the another port very, very nearby. Caesarea is very conveniently located between two ports. So I will walk up there and take a ticket. There is enough money, or you can provide it. And I will go to Rome. And I will be preaching. Will it not be wonderful? Because as a Roman citizen, I have freedom. I can preach the gospel. Why don't we think about that? No, Saul did not. Paul did not present that option at all. The Lord said, you will witness me like this. You will continue to be in prison. And then continuing to be in prison, you will travel to Rome as a prisoner, not as a free man. That's an option. There is an option. There was an option. Remember that. There was an option. He could be free. But he said, no, that is not my option. You go as a prisoner, and not as a prisoner. You will go to as a prisoner in a ship that is going to wreck in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. My God, you want me to do that also? Yes, my way. Obey. This is my way. Why should the ship wreck? Read the Acts. The ship should wreck because you will be the only man who will have faith and hope. When others are dispirited, when they are trying to kill the prisoners, you know, you will be the man who will stand up with a loaf of bread. And you say, brothers, be encouraged. Nothing is going to happen to our lives. Only the ship will be lost. Takes and he, Bible says, the book of Acts says, he took the bread and he praised God, gave thanks, and he started to eat. When they saw him eating, the Roman soldiers started eating. The prisoners started eating. That was God's plan. Flying from Tel Aviv airport to Rome airport without turbulence in the air, we'll miss the prisoners. For that, there has to be storm. To save them, to win them for Christ, you got to be in a storm. To save them, you got to be in a storm. That's my way. Obey it. Praise God. You just obey it. Don't ask any more questions. Be a prisoner in a ship that is going to be in a storm. Because word of God says, I have given their lives in your hands. Njan avarude jeevane ninde kayil thannirikkunnu. Okay, that is fine. That is wonderful. But wow. No, Paul, this ship is going to wreck. You will be in the freezing cold waters of Mediterranean Sea for many days. You will not be able to see the sun or the moon because it is going to be so cloudy. And you will be there with other prisoners hanging on to planks. And finally, I will make some of these planks go ashore to Malta. That is great. But why should I be bitten by a viper? Why? Because these people need to believe that there is a living God. They need to believe. This is how I have designed it. This is my script. Every bit of the drama should happen according to God's script in our life. Not according to our script. We modify the script. God, this part of this shipwreck and 40 days in the water, why don't we delete it? No. It's in the script of God. Obedience. Saul didn't have the time to wait for all sort of things. Saul the king wanted to do things in his own time. But he says, I will. And bitten. And the people in the Malta came to believe the Lord. They saw a miracle right in front of them. Then he goes on. I'm cutting short the story. Finally, he ends up in Rome. He was imprisoned in Rome. The most important verse of the book of Acts is the last verse. You know what is the last verse? 31st verse, chapter 28. He says, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord of Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. That the story doesn't end with death of Paul. Doesn't end. Though Paul died, and probably Acts was written after the death of Paul, probably, that death is not recorded. What Luke wanted to say is that the gospel continued to march on. Praise God. So there is something so infectious about the gospel. Oh, people who are really filled with the Holy Spirit, people who are really walking with the Holy Spirit, people who are walking in the path of obedience, they take the gospel wherever they go. They witness the gospel wherever they go. They can preach from pulpit. They can preach through television. They can use radio. They can write newspaper columns. But they can also preach from behind the bars. That's amazing. You will become. Nobody is going to make me. Bible schools can give us diplomas, credentials. I'm in that business. But now I cannot fill the people with the Holy Spirit. I cannot make them witnesses. That's the Holy Spirit. But once that happens, nothing can stop. Baptism of the Holy Spirit doesn't end with a few phrases of speaking in tongues. It's more than that. It's something that gives us the boldness to face storms in our lives. Turn every storm into a great opportunity for God. Take every shipwreck that happens to our lives and turn the shipwrecks to witness to God, to testify the great grace of God. All that we need to look for, His voice. Wait upon His voice for His time and His way. Amen. How do we know God's will? How do we know God's will? We can hear God's will in our prayer. Yesterday I was talking, sharing with some believers. When we sincerely pray, now God will speak to us. Just obey it. God will give peace about it. You don't need a prophet. You need anyone else. I'm not against prophets, but I'll add a caution. That's all that I would say. Caution. Be careful. But God reveals to those who pray His will. When I speak the word or when your pastor speaks the word, if you have a listening attitude, God will definitely speak to us through the preached word of God. The preached word of God. But if we are critical, if we are comparing us with others, and if you have a sheet to grade the message, you will never receive the word of God to obey. You are putting points, A plus B, B minus. You will never listen to the word of God. I have a PhD, sorry to say that, but I have been blessed by people who had only 4th or 8th grade education, spent only 3 months in the Bible school, but they have helped me so much. Things that I could not find in the Word of God, they have exposited by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I had something to obey. With all this experience I have, 9 years after my BSc, I spent in seminary studying the Word of God, long 9 years, 25 years teaching in the seminaries. But then I still learned to humble myself. The ministry of a semi-literate pastor who has never seen beyond outside of Kerala can still minister to us. And my brother Idicheri and I used to say this, Paulson, all that we need when we pray together, once he said, all that we need is the crucifixion of our intellect. With our PhDs, if you want to hear the voice of God from the fourth grade, preacher who cannot read the Bible properly, doesn't know Hebrew and Greek, if we crucify our intellect, God can speak to us. I have a great challenge because I know this thing in Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. When a pastor preaches, I need to sit and say, God, Master, speak. Bol Prabhu, speak. Servant listens. God can speak to us when we have a humble attitude. It is not the status. Nowadays, I'm sorry to say this. We go after, we grade preaching. We value the preacher, the messenger, than the message. That is the mistake that Pentecostals are making today. We go for we look for the messenger, the brand, but we seldom care about what he preaches or she preaches nowadays. The purity of the doctrine, how clear it comes, the clarity of the truth, we are not bothered about it. We are after popularity, crowd pullers. That is where we are going wrong. A humble disposition. Hallelujah. Master, speak. I am here. Not only to hear, I would like to listen. Why are we going after this 9-year-old boy and the 11-year-old boy? I'm not against those boys. Let these guys grow up and become Christ's apostles. Preach worldwide. I'm not against it. They are not a threat to my ministry. But we are fascinated that such a young age, 9-year-old is able to preach. We seldom care about what he preach. Am I right? In the YouTube, how many YouTube visits that guy gets? I have no complaint. Because I'm fascinated by it. A young boy is preaching. Because we, whatever he preaches doesn't affect our life. So why bother? Why bother? No. Obedience is looking for God's voice. It is not who. Tomorrow, there may be a man who preach standing on his head. We'll all be running to that convention because a man is preaching standing on his head. We don't care about what he is preaching. We are no more after truth. Because truth demands obedience. And we are not in a disposition to obey God. So we don't want truth. We want facts. Convention, they preach about the distance between sun, the earth and the moon. They're preaching about how much of gold is there. They're preaching about all sort of scientific facts. Why? Because we don't want truth. We want something that tingles our ears. But when there are more and more people listening to the truth of God and are willing to change their lives, bring their will in alignment with God's will, I tell you, don't blame the preachers. Don't ban the preachers. The preachers will go away. They will be automatically banned. They will go out of business when God's people seek the pure milk of the word of God. What has to happen is not banning these preachers, but as the appetite of the audience has to change. How do we know God? His will. Go to the Bible. Psalm 40, verse 6. The psalmist says, it is written about me in the books. In the scroll. And O Lord, I'm coming to fulfill sacrifice and offerings. Psalms chapter 40, verse 6, and I'm concluding with that. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. There's a misinterpretation there. It simply means it is not Exodus 19. It's talking about you have given me an open ear. An ear that I can listen. And burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not declare. And then I said, the psalmist says, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. It is about our Lord Jesus Christ also. I'm not saying that it is not there. It is written about me in the scroll. Pustaka chirulil enne kuriche ezhuthiyirikkunnu. The next verse. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. The word of God is what guides the believer. Now I seek this scroll morning after morning, evening after evening, not to find out facts and not to solve the mystery of whom did Cain marry. That is not my problem. My problem is to find what way God can guide me today. When I have to face a difficult boss, when my job may be threatened, may be laid off, what does God want me to do? Respond. What should I do when somebody jumps in front of me, cuts the lane in front of me? What should I do? That's written in the scroll. This scroll. What we need to do is that what I need to obey, it is there. Your will is there. The law is in my heart. I just need to fulfill it by obedience. Looking for guidance. Looking for guidance. The greatest thing is that to believe that this book can guide us in all situations. It has answers to all situations. That is what we need to do. Believe him. Believe his word. Obey his word. Trust his will. His will is a perfect, will. He will do nothing which is ugly. He will do everything in his own time, according to his own plan. All that we need to do is to align our will with his will. Our free will becomes God's will. Those who are outside the will of God, they have will, their will, human will, which is always in conflict with God's will. When we become a Christian, when we surrender our life, we accept God's will for us. And we publicly witness and say, I have walked into the water of baptism to walk a life of obedience. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit so that I have the power to obey him, to go wherever he wants me to go, whatever he wants me to say, whatever he wants me to do. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. And that side of a life of obedience, And that life of obedience has only one goal, one thing in our mind. That is His will. His will is our will. That is how we become the children of God. And we can find God's will in the Word of God. When a prophet or somebody, even I, come and say, this is what you should do, don't ever believe. Always, like the Bereans, check, verify it with the Word of God. That is what the Bereans did, the people of Berea. They were there, they just verified everything, they verified. So that is why we don't have a letter to the Bereans. You know that? There's a letter to the Corinthians, because they did not verify everything. There's a letter to Galatians, they never thought about what was written to them. But there is no letter to the Bereans, because the Bereans always didn't need a letter, because they already had the letter. Let's not have a letter to the Seattle church. Seattle church should know the Word of God, the will of God through the Word of God. Through the preaching of God's word from this pulpit, day after day, week after week, God's will is being proclaimed from this place. But listen to it. Don't try to criticize. Find a fault with that. Now I fumble when I see, look at the, hear the audio of my sermons and my video of my sermons. I don't see it the second time because I know how many mistakes I have made. Language mistakes, phrase, you know, the choice, diction. Sometimes I mess up verses also. Just now I said, instead of Jerusalem, I kept on saying Rome. I kept on saying, but the truth stands. Satyathinu maathamilla. The preacher, I preached from the book of Jeremiah, and I preached about Jeremiah, but throughout that sermon, I said Nehemiah. Somebody corrected me. I said, thank you for correcting me. And I said, yes, I'm going to preach on Jeremiah. Within 5 minutes, I went back to Nehemiah. Because that is what was happening. I don't know why. But the truth stands. Satyam nilanilkunnu. But you can take mistakes from all the sermons and all the Bible studies and prove the preacher is inefficient, not qualified, but a chance to obey God's voice will be missed. That's what we need. Humility of the spirit to obey God's word. May God bless us. Thank you, Pastor.